Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing on this Friday afternoon? Appreciate you all jumping in here. I figured I'd do a quick spaces, kind of recap some of the key takeaways from what I thought was pretty forthcoming exit interviews from the players. Got a lot of honesty. I think a lot of questions that I'm sure the fans, including myself, wanted to hear be answered from some of the players, more specifically, I guess, Dubois, obviously. But I thought a lot of the players that we talked to, definitely really candid, so great to hear. Obviously, these things, always a somber mood, especially for a team that just 2 days removed from losing or being kicked out of the Stanley Cup playoffs and then having their season ending, so a little bit more of a somber mood, but I think once the questions start coming in and conversations start flowing a little bit more, you start to hear a little bit more of an openness to what the media there is looking for. So I figured I pretty much kind of took notes, and if anybody wants to kind of chime in and ask a question, kind of follow up to, go right ahead. I'll bring you all in here. But yeah, just figured I'd do quick Twitter space here. Don't know how many more of these we're going to do for over the summer. Although we got trade deadline, or not trade deadline. We got free agency. We got the draft coming up, so I'm sure we'll be doing more of these. But dive into some notes here. So first player we got to talk to, Andrei Kopitar, the captain. He was asked. It was funny. He was asked if he would actually sign up to be a part of another rebuild or a retool, and he pretty much immediately shot that down. Only 2 years left on his deal. Going to be 39 at the end of that deal. So, I mean, I guess that's really not that surprising. He's here, and he re-signed here to look to win again. This isn't a guy that's just going to want to coast the rest of his NHL career. He wants to win. He's experienced that before. He wants to feel it again. He feels like this team, or this roster, has the skill set and the talent in order to get there again, tweak a few things. Obviously, hasn't worked the last few years. He was also asked, and pretty much almost every forward, it seemed, kind of felt like a theme throughout this entire availability, is the system that was in place. So he was one of the first, obviously, to be asked this question, and he gave kind of more of the political answer, right? Like, he doesn't really care about the system or any changes that would happen. He's willing to try whatever the organization or the management wants to be put in front of him. So gave more of that political captain type of answer. Kind of not surprising from Kopitar. Wouldn't expect anything more from him. And as far as any front office changes, I thought maybe a little surprising there. He said he's just unsure. He said that our guess is as good as his. Hasn't heard anything. Doesn't know what to expect. Which I guess that's, I don't know if that's telling in any way or maybe a hint of what's to come. So take that for what you will. But I don't know. I think the way he said it and all the videos, they're actually been the team has been pretty good. They've been putting all these videos on YouTube. So go ahead and check them all out. all the questions, everything like that, all the player interviews that we got to talk to today are should be up on the LA Kings YouTube. So go check those out. But actually, before I jump to the next one, we didn't get a chance to talk to all the players. I know more specifically, probably a lot of people wanted to hear from Arthur Kaliev. Arthur Kaliev wasn't made available, so not sure why. Team decision. We didn't get a chance to talk to Artie today, so it is what it is. Next player that we got to talk to was Drew Doughty. Drew was also asked about the system changes. I think he kind of gave a little bit more of a political answer, too. Doesn't really care. We'll do pretty much whatever management says. I could be wrong there. I'd have to go back and watch, but I didn't really get anything in terms of like a real like answer as I did from some other players that I'll talk to or I'll talk about later on who mentioned some of the system changes that they're looking for. But as far as the world championships, I think it's something that he's really considering. He did say that he was given an invite. I know Team Canada actually just tweeted out their roster, and I believe there's only a couple roster spots available. So it's something that he's still considering. And I believe, I could be wrong here, but I believe out of all like the big international medals and the championships that a professional hockey player can win, I believe a world championship is the last one that Doughty hasn't won yet. So it would make all the sense in the world for him to want to go and try to complete that kind of rounding out all getting all those medals. And then another one that he mentioned was Brant Clark. He is very much, it sounds like he's very much like in line with the thinking of Brant Clark being his heir apparent, right? Like being the next number one anchor defenseman on the roster. And he sees a lot of the talent. Like he was like, once for the first question of Brant Clark came up for Doughty, there was like three or four more questions just based off Brant Clark alone, because you can sense the amount of enthusiasm when talking about the player that he expects Brant Clark to be. And it was really cool to hear, because that's what you want to hear, right? You want to hear this franchise defenseman who's been the number one guy for the Kings for however many years. Now all of a sudden he realizes this other special player that's coming up in the system, and he wants to help him out. Like, he talked about how he wants to sit down with Clarkie and try to help him learn the defense and maybe a little bit more of a defensive style of his game, because he sees the offensive game. We all see it, right? We see all the special talents that he's able to bring to the ice offensively, but there are some things defensively that I'm sure he realizes, even I'm sure Clark realizes. So, I mean, if they're able to get together and kind of form a bond there, that would be huge to have on the roster going forward. I mean, like he mentioned even that he sees a lot of himself in Brant Clark. So I can imagine, like, if they can kind of form a relationship over the summer and that can carry over to a training camp, which we all expect Brant Clark to be on the roster for the entire season next year. So if they can form a relationship throughout the summer, come into training camp, and then have that bond formed throughout the training camp and throughout the early parts of the year, man, I think that's only going to pretty much accelerate Brant Clark's kind of growth into being a number one NHL defenseman or top six NHL defenseman that we all expect him to be going into next year. So that was good to hear Doughty speak about that. And then as far as I think the next two we got were Roy and Arvidsson. We got them as a tandem. Victor said he's fully healthy going into the offseason. That second injury he dealt with, he was actually pretty transparent with the first injury he dealt with. That was known, I think it was first announced that he would have to go through a little bit of adjustment. He mentioned something about a disc in his spinal cord that he was dealing with that I think was protruding. So that caused him to miss pretty much most of the first part of the year. Came back. Played what, four or five games, and then he said that he dealt with another injury that was totally unrelated to that first injury, and that's what caused him to miss miss the second part of the season. But he said he's 100% now. he got an invite also, I believe, from the World Championships. I don't think he's going to go. I'd have to go. I don't know if he answered that. I have to go back and listen. But as far as both of them, both pending unrestricted free agents, neither one of them have had or are aware of any discussions that have taken place regarding any contract extensions. It's going to be tough to see either one of those players come back. So I know they had talked about how it came up around Christmas time that maybe it was kind of talked about a little bit, but I think Roy mentioned that since they were going through the kind of struggles that they were going through during the month of January, it was tough to kind of have those similar conversations at that point too. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't expect either of those players to come back, but who knows? Maybe they get a team-friendly deal. But like I said, it'd be tough with the salary cap the way it is. I'm going through the comments too. So if you guys have any questions in the comments, I'll go ahead and read through some of the comments, but I was going to go ahead and continue through my notes here. The next guy we got was Cam Talbot. Talbot, very, very transparent. He wants to stay in LA. He said that he's been a part of 7 different teams over the past 11 years. And he was a little concerned about how he'd be able to bounce back after the struggling season that he had last year in Ottawa. But he said he feels great physically. He said he didn't think that the amount of the workload that he got the early parts of the year kind of contributed to a little bit of his struggles of the mid part of the year. But he said now he feels great physically. He really wants to get a multi-year deal as opposed to just having that one year deal extension just because of how many times he's had to bounce back and forth between cities and different teams. And as far as having that multi-year deal, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I wouldn't expect – I think if you do end up signing him to a multi-year deal that he kind of wants and he wants to be in L.A., I wouldn't expect it to be a large deal. So if the Kings are looking for – maybe a number one option over the summer, then sure, go and find a $3-4 million guy, and then you can have Cam Talbot on a multi-year deal as a pretty solid backup option. You have Eric Portillo, obviously still developing in the AHL. I don't expect him to be too much of an impact next year. Maybe he gets a spot start here and there. Still probably needs another year of seasoning in the AHL, but he's having a great year. Obviously, the Ontario Reign are still in the Calder Cup playoffs, so that's great for them. But want to see Portillo continue to gain a little bit more development in that league. So if you're looking to get a solid kind of backup option for next year or so, the next few years, I mean, Cam Talbot wouldn't be the worst pick. Like I said, I don't expect it to be too big of a contract that you have to pay him. Maybe $1.5 million. I mean, 1-2 year deal, $1 million. I mean, for a goalie at his caliber, at his age, I don't think that's asking too much. So I'm not that opposed to that, to be honest with you. The next two players. These two players, I thought this was the highlight of the whole player interview process. It's Adrian Kempe and Kem Fiala. I mean, they were asked about other questions like throughout the season, like the struggles that they went through, the team went through, and kind of underwhelming performances in the playoffs. But once we got to that 1-3-1 question, man, you guys will have to go back and watch this availability, because I thought this was the most transparent, like we heard from any player. Adrian Kempe specifically, he went through this long-winded answer, and I haven't even had to go back and watch it or listen to it. I'm excited to go back and listen to it, but his answer on the 1-3-1, he mentioned specifically how he had more fun and he thought it fit his style more playing a more aggressive style of game and a structured game opposed to the 1-3-1. So he had mentioned that they had kind of adjusted at the later parts of the Edmonton series in the playoffs to an aggressive kind of 1-2-2 style structure opposed to the 1-3-1. And I'm not sure if it was him or Kevin Fiala that talked about how they felt that being more aggressive on the forecheck and using their speed a little bit more gave them the ability to create a little bit more in terms of turnovers, causing a little bit more havoc in the offensive zone, which led to a little bit more of that creativity that both players exude, which, I mean, man, like, that's kind of, it's like, man, like, as soon as I heard that, I was like looking, I wanted to look around the room, like, this is exactly what we've been saying, right? Like, this is like, you get these players. Adrian Kempe has all the speed in the world, right? Like, we know how fast he is. He was second place in the fastest skater contest last year in the All-Star break. Kevin Fiala, like, let Kev be Kev. He's this creative playmaking guy who loves to be that kind of guy. Like, you can tell that enthusiasm he brings on and off the ice, not just with his skill set, but his attitude toward the game too. Like, this is what we've been saying. Like, you have these players in your organization and on the roster, but it feels like you're kind of hampering them. And it's like, it almost felt like a cry for help from those players. Like this is what we want to do. Like, this is the skill set that we have that we want to showcase on the ice. So to hear them say that, like, I wanted to stand up and just like give a round of applause. Like, thank you for saying that, because that's what I've been waiting to hear. I'm sure that's what a lot of you guys have been wanting to hear. So for them to come out and say that and be transparent and almost, I don't want to say go against management a little bit, but it kind of felt that way, because that's a system that they've been running. And I think Dubois mentioned it as kind of becoming a running joke that it's like nobody's talked about systems more in his entire career than here in LA. But for Kempe and Fiala to mention that, I mean, dude, like, I was so glad for that, for them to say that, because I feel like that's hopefully going to be an eye-opening to management and say, like, okay, we got players here are like two integral pieces, important pieces offensively, saying and almost crying for help that they want to showcase their ability a little bit more and utilize that speed and that creativity. So maybe let's give them that option and that ability to showcase that talent and be more aggressive on the forecheck. Because I mean, if that's what they were using, I asked Jim Fox if he noticed any difference, and he said he didn't notice it. Maybe there was a change, but he didn't notice anything 5-on-5. But I mean, maybe that's what they were using a little bit more in Game 4 and Game 5, where they felt that they were playing a little bit of a better game in those two games compared to earlier parts of the series. So, I mean, for Kempe and Fiala to say that was like, oh man, I was like, I turned and looked at some of the media members next to me. I was like, dude, that was awesome. Like, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. So that was great. Like, that was, I thought, the highlight of the whole player avail. So good to hear from them. I believe the next player we got after him was Gavrikov. Gavrikov really didn't really give too much. I didn't really take any notes as far as him. I thought he gave pretty general answers. Team needs to be better. Struggled a little bit. Still thinks they have the talent. Oh, and we talked to Phil Deneau too. He mentioned, it was funny, he mentioned the two index fingers right away. And I took a picture, and I'll share it too. But maybe you guys can notice it on the videos on YouTube. But he held up the two index fingers, and his left one specifically, you could see his fingernail was just completely black. So I'm sure, like, these players obviously aren't going to make excuses for their poor play or whatever their struggles that they dealt with in this playoff series or anything like that. But you have to imagine, like, to have your two index fingers be broken. I mean, who knows the extent of the break? Obviously not gonna speculate what they're dealing with or whatnot, but I can imagine as a centerman, you're taking face-offs. When I think he mentioned that one of them came off a face-off. So as a centerman, if you're taking those face-offs, I can imagine those index fingers being broken probably have a little bit of an impact on the success rate in those situations. So Phil, I thought it was great. But besides that, not a lot more in terms of transparency. I don't know if he was really asked in terms of the system. I'd have to go back and check. Same thing with Gavrikov, like I mentioned. It was really more general answers. And then I guess we get to the – he wasn't the last one, but it sort of felt like the grand finale of the whole player avail with Pierre Dubois. I mean, he's saying all the right things, saying – it's at the end of the day, the disappointing season's on him. he's willing to do whatever it takes in the offseason to be better, to become better. It's just like, talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. We heard from the player, from the media veil when he first got here, from when he was asked about all the baggage that he had kind of carried from Columbus and Winnipeg and now coming to LA. He gave all the right answers at that media availability. I remember over the summer, like that first, it was like everybody was like, oh man, this seems like a really cool guy. He seems like a really nice and charming guy. Like this seems perfect. Like, why not? Like, okay, let's ride. I mean, he gave the same kind of answers today, the same, hey, like the answers that you want to hear. Like, you want to hear him say, okay, it's on me. I'm the one. There's no one else to blame but myself for the disappointing season that I had. But it's like I said, it's talk is cheap. You got to be able to perform on the ice before we can really give a lot of confidence that you could be that player that you're not only that you were, that management expected you to be when they made the trade, when they spent all those assets to bring you over here from Winnipeg, but that you're also being paid to be. You're being paid to be an impact player. You're being paid to be a top six player on this team. Whether a trade or buyout happens, he was asked about that specifically. He said it's just out of his control. So he realized a lot of that's going on. You guys, I may have mentioned it, you guys may know my opinions on the matter. I'm still bullish on the player. I'm definitely in the minority in that aspect. A buyout is not something I would even consider, to be honest with you. I understand the savings, but to me, like, having an average of like $1.9 to $2 million of a dead cap hit for 14 years, like 14 years we're talking about, that's a fucking long time. That's nothing to sniff at. I understand the savings, but 14 years of a dead cap hit of almost $2 million is just incredibly, like, a hard pill to take in. And I understand, like, his contract alone for the next 7 years at $8.5 million is a hard pill to take in alone, in that aspect as well. So I understand that, but there's a player there. I still believe there's a player there. He's been a player there before. He's been produced. He's been productive in Winnipeg and Columbus. You can say what you want about him being a top line guy, but as far as I'm watching Jim Hiller. I'm in the parking lot. And I'm watching Jim Hiller just walk across me in the parking lot. So we didn't get a chance to talk to Jim Hiller or Rob Blake today. So they said that's still up in the air whether we're gonna or when they're gonna schedule. That's what PR said. It's still up in the air when they're gonna schedule their exit interviews. But so we'll see what happens there. But it's back to PL Dubois. He's brought here to be the impact player. So it remains to be seen whether he can be that impact player. I'm still bullish on him. I still think he can be. If you give him the pieces to do so, and maybe it's an excuse because it's been almost feels like it's been an excuse for the player the entire year. We'll see what happens. But like I said, I think if you give him the minutes, you give him the line mates, you give him the opportunity and the situations. I mean, put him on first line power play. Like let him be that net front guy. And just try to find some production there. Maybe that boosts his confidence a little bit. I feel like he could still be that player. So, like I said, I feel like I'm in the minority here. But I don't know. Like a buyout is just is crazy. Maybe you could talk me into a trade, maybe with a little bit of retention, although that would take up a retention spot for 7 years. But, man, a buyout is just is crazy. That would be crazy. But who knows? Who knows? He said it's out of his control. We'll see if Rob Blake or if it even is Rob Blake, we'll see if management is truly considering it. But like I said, I still see a player there. So I don't know. Next, I think the last two players that we got after that were Quentin Byfield and Alex LeFerrier. LeFerrier, great rookie year, I thought. Looking forward to, I think he's going to go back to Boston and train out there. I think he's going back to school. So he said it's going to be a transition from going to school, playing a full season in the NHL, and then going back to school. So a little bit of a comedy there. So now he's going to be transitioning, but he'll be working out, I believe, in Boston, going back to school. But for Byfield, he was also pretty transparent about some illness again that he was dealing with at the later parts of the year. I think he had mentioned it a few weeks ago, but yeah, he mentioned again that he he dealt with an illness. I don't know if he mentioned that it was related to an illness, that same illness that caused him to miss parts of the, I think 2 years ago. But he said he did lose some weight, and he got the invite from Team Canada if they wanted to. He said he got a call from Rick Nash if he wanted to join Team Canada at the World Championships. Man, I would have loved to see Quentin Byfield play in the World Championships. That would have been so cool. Maybe, could you imagine Quentin Byfield playing on the line with Connor Bedard? Like, that would have been incredible to watch as a Kings fan, right? But he said, unfortunately, he had to decline because he was dealing with that same – he's kind of still dealing with that same illness and trying to recover from that physically. So maybe that was the reason. Maybe we saw his play kind of dip a little bit toward the end of the year. I'm not trying to make an excuse to the player. I'm sure he wouldn't make an excuse for himself, but – he said it was something that he was battling, and I think he had mentioned, not to quote him specifically, but I think he had mentioned that there were games where he just felt like he just had to get through the game. And I wonder if maybe, like, he was being asked to do a lot, right? Like, when Jim Hiller took over, Hiller even said specifically that he talked to Q about playing a more important role and being elevated to a more important role, given more minutes. And we saw that, like, his minutes shot up dramatically with Hiller around. So wondering if that maybe had a little bit of an impact there, but who knows? Like, when Byfield, it seems like when Byfield's fully healthy, I mean, he was obviously a great player, and we started to see a lot of what Quentin Byfield can be and what we expect him to be going next year. So I'm going through some of the comments here. Max G asks, how realistic would it be to trade PLD and the Kings first round pick with salary retention to trade up for a top 5-10 pick in the first round this year? As far as a trade for PLD, don't expect anything in return. At that point, if you're trading PLD, you're trading him just to kind of get rid of him. I mean, if there's so much buyout talk going on, teams across the league are going to see it. They're probably going to ask for retention. So you're looking at a deal that's going to be almost probably similar to what the Kings had to do to get rid of Cal Peterson, right? You're probably going to have to give up an asset, including PLD, to just get him off the books. That way you don't even have to consider a buyout. You just get rid of the contract and just kind of move on. And, hey, fun doing business with you. You got your deal. Didn't work out. Move on. So if a trade were to happen, you're kind of hoping that it's not as much retention that the Kings would have to take on. So don't expect anything in return for that deal. But appreciate the question, Max. Derek asks, with the pending UFAs, could the right side of the D pairings look like Doughty, Spence, Clark? That's what I would assume. I think that's what kind of everybody assumes, right? You have, if Matt Roy doesn't walk, like I think I expect him to, and probably everyone else here expects him to, which is unfortunate, obviously, because I'm sure a lot of you are like, well, why the fuck didn't we trade him at the trade deadline? I get that. Like, I was on the fence too at that point. But if Matt Roy does walk, yeah, your right side should be Doughty, Clark, Spence next year. I think the left side is where it'll be interesting. I know you have Gavrikov, you have all four players that have played the left side this year in Mikey Anderson, Vlad Gavrikov, Andreas Englund, and Jacob Morvara, all signed for next year. Me personally, I hope they waive Englund if he plays another 82 games on the Kings next year. Oh, man, that'll be a tough pill to swallow. I'm sure Jordan Spence, I mean, you just kind of look at some of the numbers that Spence had away from Englund opposed to or compared to the numbers that he had with Englund. It's like, man, like, get this guy somebody new, like, right? I would hope that they figure out a way to waive Englund, maybe bring in more of a puck mover that you can find, hopefully on the cheap. I know my friend Joe on the Hockey Royalty podcast, he's mentioned Erik Gustafsson. I believe he got signed. He's playing on the Rangers. Productive player. He's only signed for like $875,000 this year. Maybe he gets a raise, but I wouldn't expect a big raise. Maybe you can figure out a way to get him signed on a short-term deal. He's more on the older side. I don't know exact age. I'm also looking at a player like Chillington up in Calgary. He's going to be a UFA. He dealt with a major injuries that have kind of hampered his ability. And he came back this year. I believe he's a Masterton finalist. I could be wrong there. I know he was the nominee for them, but we'll see what happens. Oh, now DJ Smith is coming out of the offices now. But yeah, so I would expect the D-core on the right side at least to be Doughty, Clark, Spence. And then as far as the left side goes, you have Mikey Anderson, you have Vlad Gavrikov. We'll see what happens as far as England or Morvara on the third pair, but we'll see. Royal Rant asks, any chance of seeing Spence and Clark with top minutes next year? It's funny. Actually, Doughty mentioned about how if he would be okay with Clark kind of taking over more of responsibilities that he has. He said he'd be a little upset. It was kind of a chuckle throughout the room. He said he'd be a little upset, but hey, if Clark, he wants to take over, that's what Clark is here to do. So I wouldn't expect quote unquote top minutes for Spencer Clark, but I mean, top 4 minutes, I mean, for Brent Clark, I think is nothing to sneeze at. If you're giving Clarkie 18 minutes a night, you give Spence 16 minutes a night, hopefully with a better D partner. I mean, that alone should dramatically improve this team's play on the ice, let alone the system that we're all looking for them to change. But if you insert a player like Brent Clark, this offensive dynamo on the back end that the Kings didn't have pretty much all this year. Yeah, you can say Drew Doughty played a really good year, but he doesn't have the offensive skill set that Brent Clark. Nobody on the team has the offensive skill set that he has. Nobody on this roster for like the last 10, 15 years has had the skills that Brent Clark has. So just adding him alone and hopefully being an impact player, and not to like put too much on his shoulders, but hopefully to be an impact player that we all expect him to be. Because hell, even in the few games that we saw, the glimpse that we saw of Brent Clark, I mean, look at the goal he scored in Boston. I think Quentin Byfield even mentioned the goal he scored in Boston and the goal he scored in Vancouver. Like those goals alone, like showcase that talent and see that future, the impact that he can have on the ice for this team. I think that's huge. So, I mean, you add those pieces alone, I think that's going to be a huge upgrade in addition. Morgan asked, did Phil mention his shoulder? He didn't mention anything as his shoulder besides the fingers that he was dealing with. So nothing more in that aspect. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's any more questions here. I don't see any more questions. So I see we got a couple people requested. So I'm going to go to Luke. Luke's requested to speak. Luke, what's up, my man? How you doing, bud?
Hi, Russell.
What's up, Luke?
How you doing, brother?
Doing good, doing good. Just getting the off season started. Bittersweet.
Yeah. I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit. How do you feel about goaltending? Would you be okay with a similar tandem we had for one more year before Portillo starts to sneak his way in, or do you think you want to give someone like Portillo like a backup position? What's your thought about all that?
Yeah, it's tough because I mean, look around the league, right? Look at all these top goaltenders that are getting paid hellebuck.
Sorokin, and he didn't do much.
didn't do much
fault.
At all. Right?
Obviously, it's not his fault, but it really depends on the team that he's playing behind you, right?
100%, and that's kind of what we've been saying. Like, you mean Connor Hellebuck can only stand on his head so much before Nathan MacKinnon sends a beautiful cross-ice pass to Mikko Rantanen. Like, what is he going to do? He can only make so many saves. And he even mentioned himself that he thought the Avalanche did a really good job of getting bodies in front of him and blocking his vision. So,
yeah.
I mean, for me, we've talked about this on the pod. I mean, goalies are goalies. Like, I mean, if you can have a good, solid team in front of them, I think you can see and I don't want to say average, but I mean, it is what it is. Like, you can see average goalies perform to an elevated level. I mean, we see, you just see it in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the championships the last few years. Darcy Kuemper with Colorado, Aiden Hill with Vegas. Like, those goalies weren't expected to do much, and all of a sudden, they're hoisting the Stanley Cup over their heads. So,
and I feel like most of us can say, isn't it nice not having like a big contract goalie right now? It's really nice.
We did this already with Cal Peterson.
Yeah,
we don't want to go through that again. Yeah. So, as far as having the same tandem,
It's hard.
I would like a little bit of an upgrade, but I also don't want to spend too much money. So
no. If we did anything like that, I wouldn't want to spend more than like $2 million, especially since I think the best chance for like someone to get a bigger contract would be like a Portillo, but we're not talking years in advance. But I do have really high hopes for him, and he's been doing amazing in the AHL. So I'm like 50-50 here. I'm like, okay, we could re-sign like Riddick. He's a little younger, and he honestly solid goaltender. Big save, Dave. Mm-hmm. I could see him getting maybe a little bit extra money if he's going to take that number one role, and a player like Portillo coming in for like 20-30 games. I could see that too. But at the same point, I feel like statistics show that younger goaltenders take a little longer to see them produce in the NHL. So I'm a little 50-50 because I really think that there's still more from Talbot.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same point, I'm okay with moving on from him too, because he is a little bit older. 38 is how old he is. How old is he now?
Yeah. Well, I could be wrong, but yeah, I mean, he's up there definitely in age. I thought it was very curious. I was expecting him. I was going to ask some questions if he had more left in the tank, and he said we didn't even have to ask. He mentioned like right away he was very forthcoming about how he wants to stay in LA, wants to sign a multi-year deal, and definitely thinks that he could still contribute in a positive direction. It is like, as much as I do like the goalie tandem that they did this year, like that's like one of the few things that you can commend Rod Blake on, and what he did over the summer is not investing too much in the goaltending, and they still produced in the regular season. They're both what, top 10 and goal saved above expected per 60, I think. And it's great regular season. It's just, can you rely on those goalies being your goalies in the playoffs? That's the thing. So maybe what I could see is maybe you do bring back those two pieces. You have Portillo, like you said, have given spot starts throughout the season. And then maybe you look to see if you can upgrade that position in the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And just to test the waters with those two players still, I still think there's some game left in Talbot. And I think he is in really good shape. And I think he has a very positive attitude. He doesn't hurt our team in any way. And so I actually think I'm leading that way. And just give Portillo another year to really to build off his great year this year in the AHL. So I'll say one last thing, and I do want to let other people talk. I do want to say that I think if we can do what we were saying about the three right defensemen, I really think if we have Doughty, we have Spence, and we have Clarkie, all three of them on the right side, and then maybe we get one more puck mover defenseman on the left side, I really think that our offense will be so different with just four puck movers, two stay at home. Cause I think Gavrikov, we all admit, is going to be here next year. He stay at home, and then Anderson's not going anywhere. So those two with four puck movers, I think our defense will look great. And I'm so excited to see Spence for a whole year playing with someone who wouldn't be like, what's his name? Drawing a blank right now, but the player he's been playing with nonstop, but yeah,
England.
England. Yeah. Sorry. That's kind of how I feel right now.
Yeah, I think with those additions, like I said, with Brandt Clark alone, to have him in the lineup would be huge. And then, I mean, if you see a system change where you play a little bit more regressive forecheck like Kempe and Fiala said that they wanted to play, I think you could see a little bit more offensive production from this team as a whole and maybe get back to
players like PLD would probably increase his production.
Yeah,
having that support in the back end.
Yeah, he said that it was a system he's never played before. He said there were ups and downs throughout his season playing this system, so he didn't use it as an excuse. Which, like I said, like he's said all the right things, but it's really you gotta walk the walk at this point with him. But yeah, I love it. So
I'm with you, by the way. PLD all the, I mean not all the way. Obviously, I want to say that, but I'm with you. I'm still bullish on him. I think give him that top six role the whole season. He's making 8.5. If we're not giving him top, why are we even having him? I'd rather do a buyout if we're going to put him in the third or fourth line. You know what I mean? So give him a top six role, or what are we doing? So I'm with you on that. I'll let other people speak, but it's always nice talking to you, Russell. And go Kings, go. Excited to hear about this offseason.
Yeah, it should be fun. Interesting stuff ahead. Appreciate you jumping in here, Luke.
Of course. Have a good one.
You too. Let's go to Nick. LA Kings, Nick, what's up, bud? Let's get you in here. How's Edmonton treating you?
You know what? It's not bad now that the Oilers have a bit of a break, but once the series kicks up again, it's going to get real annoying.
Everyone say a prayer for Nick.
I appreciate that. I don't love the media end of season, but I love the fact that we get answers to the questions that we've been screaming at our TV for the last few weeks, right? Like, mm-hmm. like that Byfield one. I've been saying, I've turned to my fiance countless times being like, there's something off with him. Like, his conditioning just fell off a cliff in the last 3 weeks. I remember seeing him last game, third period, and like, he was coasting. And I'm like, what is going on with him? There's got to be an issue of some kind. So now that we know that he's been dealing with an issue, that answers that one. So, you know.
Yeah, and I wonder, remember there was one game, what was it, game four, where they had PLD out there at the last, when the 6:05, and I'm wondering if that maybe Quentin Byfield's illness and maybe fatigue a little bit played a factor in those decisions. So I'm not going to make excuses, but it was definitely kind of surprising to hear Byfield say that he was dealing with losing a little bit of weight and he was struggling to get through games at times throughout the end of the year. Because, yeah, like everybody saw it. Like Quentin Byfield just, he didn't have the speed that he had and that explosiveness that he had at the early part of the year. And everybody was wondering, like, what's going on with this guy? Maybe thought that the increased minutes and the workload played a factor. Who knows? Maybe it did. But
yeah,
I don't want to give an excuse, like I said, for the players. But it's good to hear him say, maybe give a little bit of a glimpse as to what he was going through those times.
Yeah, I think as soon as we saw in game, I think it was game two, he was coming down the wing and he was up against Ducharme, and he didn't drive. He just stopped up and let one of the slowest skaters in the league either catch up to him or angle him to the outside. That's mm-hmm. when I kind of realized, like, okay, there's an issue here, and he needs to either, you know, lower his minutes or address it in some way. But that was good to hear. Well, not good to hear, but I do want to talk about Team Canada, and I would love for Doughty to go. I was just looking at the roster, and he would definitely be the elder statesman. It would give him a chance to put a C on his jersey for the first time in his professional career. You mentioned it early. It's called the Triple Gold Club, and it's Stanley Cup, Olympic gold, World Championship gold, and there are currently 11 Canadians that have ever done it and 30 people in history that have ever done it. So he would be the 12th Canadian to do it if he wins gold, which would be great. And I just think it would be a really great experience for him, considering the disappointment in the last few years. He can go, he can have some fun, he can mm-hmm. show off his offensive talents in that type of a tournament, because it'll be bigger ice. So it'll give him a chance to move that puck a lot more. And just imagine him curling around the net and firing a breakout pass to Bedard, right? Like, it would just be so great to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the roster right now, too. I mean, there's some obviously talented. Bowen, I'll just read the defenseman going. Bowen Byram, Caden Gooley, Jamie Oleksiak, Colton Parayko, Owen Power, Damon Severson, Owen Zellweger. So you have a lot of talent there, but seems like Drew Doughty obviously would be like that big experienced vet who can kind of take over and play those important, like, big minutes for a team that has a lot of young talent on it. Like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Bedard's there, Fantilli's going, Dylan Cousins. So you have kind of a good mix and man, like, I'm sure, like, with the struggles that he's going through. And also, like, if for him, he wants to probably showcase his talents to get an invite to the Olympics that are coming up now that the NHL players are going to be allowed. And you have the Four Nations tournament going on next year too. So if he wants to get an invite, going to the World Championships and showcasing himself and showing everybody that he's still got it to play in those big game moments on a good team with a lot of good talent, best place to do it is the World Championships.
Yeah, 100%. And I really hope he does. I mean, if he goes, I would love to own a Doughty jersey with a C on it. So I would 100% be buying that one. Mm-hmm. Next point I want to bring up, there's going to be a lot of turnover on the forwards. And so, like, I mean, I would say Grundstrom's gone. Arvidsson's going to be gone. Lazat maybe would be gone, but I kind of hope he isn't. I would also put who else in that? Kaliev, Trevor Lewis. So really there's four players that are going to be gone. And I know mm-hmm. the you know, jump to reaction would be Turcotte and Thomas, I would say 100% have spots.
Yeah.
Sagamo, I would like to have a spot as well, but I worry filling those holes with young players would decrease the talent on the team. If not, not the talent, but like the, like, I think they need to go out and sign one top six guy and then put those other three in a bottom six with move them up every now and again. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it all depends too. I mean, obviously, I was talking about Luke with the goaltending, and this kind of goes back to, obviously, because there are no goaltenders signed next year. So if you have to figure out what you're going to do in that aspect, and that's maybe why I lean a little bit to bringing back the same tandem and maybe look to upgrade it at the trade deadline, because it would obviously be cost effective, be really, really expensive. And then it would open up, like you said, to try to bring in a top six or even a middle six forward. Because I agree, like Alex Turcotte, Akil Thomas, you're not even pencil, like write it in Sharpie on the whiteboard. You're getting a spot next year. You deserved it with the way they played this year. Who knows with Lazat, I believe he's an RFA. Grunstrom, I'm not sure if he's an RFA or UFA.
He's an RFA.
RFA. So okay. So who knows what's going on there. But yeah, Thomas, Turcotte definitely getting spots. We'll see with Fagimo. I'm not sure how the organization views him. I think there's still room for a forward signing outside of, trust me, like as soon as the season was over or even toward the end of the season and then during those playoff series, I was already looking at free agents. And there's one name that, out there that I would love to see in a Kings uniform. It's Joshua up in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I believe Dakota Joshua is his first name. Is it Dakota Joshua?
Yeah, it's Dakota Joshua. Yeah.
Yeah. Great big guy. Throws his body around. He's been playing great in the playoffs for Vancouver. I wouldn't expect him to be too expensive of a deal. Maybe you get him signed for a $3 million couple year deal. I think that would be kind of a great piece to add a little bit of size, a little bit of intensity. And he's also been productive in the offensive zone. So I'm just kind of throwing names out there, hoping they stick on the dartboard. But yeah, if you're looking for kind of like a, I'm not looking for like a, just a pure offensive score. I don't think the Kings necessarily need that because they have a lot of offensive talent with the way Fiala plays, Kempe, Trevor Moore obviously was productive this year. Who knows if he's able to replicate another 30-goal season. But, yeah, if you're able to bring in a piece like Dakota Joshua up in Vancouver, that's something – that's the kind of player that I'm looking for. I know some people have mentioned David Perron. I love that player. Who knows if he – what his aspect is. But, yeah. If you're looking to bring in a forward, I like those kind of pieces.
Yeah, and, like, I don't mind bringing back one of the two goalies. I do not want two of them. Talbot would probably be a great goalie if he plays 25 to 30 games total. Anything more than that and you're getting in trouble. I would say, and I brought this up before the trade deadline on one of your spaces, is what of trading, like at the draft, we trade Roy and a first. Now that gives whoever we trade Roy to the option to sign him for one extra year.
Yeah.
Because he would have, right? For a number one goalie. Obviously you're going to have to add more pieces, but those would be the two, the first one, like maybe a UC Soros or even a Jeremy Swayman.
Yeah. I mean, Soros had a bit of a struggle year, but I mean, this is the thing, man. It's like if you trade, like we were just talking about trying to add a forward. I think if you trade and try to bring in a goalie that's getting paid, like the amount of money that I think they're both getting paid $5 million, if I'm correct,
yeah.
$5.5 million, something around there. You bring in a goalie like that, I don't think the team has the cap space to bring in any other pieces, to be honest with you. I think you have to re-sign Quentin Byfield. You have some other players that have contracts coming up. I think Jordan Spence is obvious and also an RFA. So he's going to need a new deal. It's not going to be too expensive, but just saying, like, those are going to add up. So the cap space that we're looking at, it's not going to be a lot that the Kings are going to be able to work with. So you want to bring in a goalie that's making $5 million. I think that's a little too much of a gamble, especially when goalies, you never know. You never know what you're going to get. I mean, Cam Talbot, I think he can still play 40-plus games in the year. I don't expect him to be a number one goalie,
yeah.
But – like you could talk me into bringing back this tandem and then, hey, you look to try to upgrade the goaltending position at the trade deadline to maybe bring in a more solid number one piece that you can rely on come playoff time. Cause I think that's the one play area I'd be concerned about is come playoff time, can you rely on Cam Talbot or David Riddick again? And I'd be a little worried there.
Yeah, I don't think you're not getting a number one goalie for less than $4 million, like, unless you draft them or you sign them as a young guy. So, like, Swayman, actually, funny enough, I just looked. He's a UFA at the end of this, or I think he's an RFA at the end of this season.
Okay.
So, and he's making 3.4 right now.
So he's going to get a hefty payday or an upgrade,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say probably at least $5 million. So
yeah.
I don't see how Boston's able to keep both of those goalies. But again, like I said, like you need to pay to get a number one goalie, and that's definitely what the Kings need. And so yeah, I think that was mostly all that I wanted to talk about. So again, thanks for the time. I appreciate you letting us on and chat.
Yeah, I appreciate you hopping in here, Nick. Good luck going through the rest of the playoffs up in there in Edmonton.
I appreciate it, man.
Take it easy. Oh, let's keep it rolling. I'm making sure I'm not touching the wrong buttons this time because I don't want to end this space. Let's go to Johnny Utah. We got two more guys. I'll go to you two and then we'll call it. Johnny Utah, what's up, bud?
Yo, Russ, what up, man?
How you doing?
I feel like my girlfriend broke up with me 3 years in a row.
I think a lot of Kings fans kind of feel that.
Yeah, well, you music my ears on that last comment about someone like the Dakota Joshua. I mean, we could battle this, and I've battled Joe on it. If you're going to take England out, I mean, who's going to be the tough guy on the team? Laferriere? You got to have someone in there doing the dirty work. I mean, I've been a Kings fan since 92, and we've had anyone from McSorley to Laferriere to Clifford to Nolan. So you're going to take out England, you got to put somebody in a fourth line.
Hey, if you're going to have that kind of that role player, I mean, I'd rather hide him in a forward position than I would as one of your six defensemen. I'll say that. So if you want to bring in that kind of agitator piece, especially in a regular season where it's not really like games obviously aren't as important come playoff time. But so like, yeah. And I think that's why I mentioned a player like Josh, but just kind of tickle you a little bit because yeah, he does bring that kind of physical nature and aspect to his game where he's going to muck it up a little bit, bring a little bit of intensity and still be productive. Still, I think he had like 18, 16 goals this year. So
he had a breakout year playing for one of the best power forwards of all time in Rick Tocchet, one of my favorite players who did everything mm-hmm. that Dakota did. You could score, hit, fight, you know, stir it up. But look at the teams that advanced so far. Florida, they're basically like the modern Broad Street Bullies. The Avs, they got Trennan, Duhane, Josh Manson. Yeah. Oilers, we just played them. Look how big they were. I mean, I took my brother one of the games, and the nice line was out against there, and he's like, man, it looks like a bunch of kids playing against a bunch of adults. You know, you got, you know, their defense is just overpowering. But, you know, real quick for next year, you know, I was just DMing you about it. I mean, let's play the Lombardi game real quick. You know, you want to pencil in the lineup. You got Byfield, Kopitar, Kempe. You got Moore, Deneau. Let's put an X there where Arvidsson is. Then you got Fiala, PLD. We'll get back to that. Laferriere. Then you got Grundstrom, Lazat. And then let's put another X there. So technically you got two spots right now for free agents. You lost Lewis. You lost Arvidsson. Well, you got to sign a top six forward who could score. I mean, Arvidsson did nothing in the playoffs, but they need that. So Kings got, what, $15 million right now? You got to pay Byfield half of that. What, you got $7 million now for a fourth line right winger. A second line score, two goalies, and now a top four defenseman. Like, this is why I think the rumors on PLD buyout are true, because that would free up another $6 million. I don't know how you fill out the roster, you know, with quality guys. Great Turcotte. I mean, I'm a huge Thomas fan, but you know, mm-hmm. you could sprinkle one of those, two of those guys. Maybe you let Lazat walk. Maybe you let Grundstrom walk, so you have a fourth line. Yeah. Or maybe like, you know, whatever. Just throw in a mix of a couple of those guys. But they just don't have enough money to ice a full roster again.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I lean a little bit toward going on the cheap end with the goaltending, just to start. I don't know if Lazat's going to come back. We'll see. Actually, it is kind of curious that we didn't talk to Blake Lazat today, now that I'm thinking about it. And we didn't talk to Grundstrom today either, which was also interesting. So we'll see if those players come back. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing just like a fourth line of just like all the young guys, right? Kyle Thomas, yeah. Alex Turcotte, Alex Laferriere. Yep. Like, put them all out there. Let's see what they could do. Who knows? Like, it'll be a fun line to watch. They might get dominated, but they might produce. Who knows? Like, Kyle Thomas came up, played great. Alex Turcotte came up, played pretty good. Alex Ferreira just played a full 80-plus game season in his first pro as a first pro. So put them all together. And then I think as far as, like, I don't want to start doing line rushes again for next year, but I would just love to see PL playing with Byfield next year to start. I think those two mesh well together. We saw a little bit the last game of the year, even though it was against the Blackhawks, but they still played pretty good together. And I also love to see Fiala with Kopitar a little bit more. I think those two need to be together. And we'll see, like, and put Deneau with, and put Deneau in just more of a shutdown role. That way you don't need to rely on him playing top 6 minutes, a player that's not necessarily been an offensive producer, but he could still be an effective two-way center that he's always been in his career. He even mentioned, he's like, I'm a two-way guy. Like, that's what I am. That's what I'm going to be. That's how I'm going to play. So yep. Put him in a third line role, maybe give him not necessarily like lesser forwards to play with, but hey, if you want to play him with like a Laferriere or even like, let's say like a hypothetically bringing in a player like Dakota Joshua or something like that, I think that'd be great. So I just want to see Dubois elevated to a top six role, just playing with Byfield. I thought those two play together. And I want to see Fiala playing more top line minutes too.
I agree. You know what they do in Ontario, by the way, shout out to the Rain, second round. I'll be there Sunday. I've become a Rain fan this year. And, yeah, you know, any Kings fans, you're bored right now and you're in the LA or OC area, second round against Abbotsford on Sunday. So 3 o'clock. They'll put two young guys with like Jacob Doughty or Samuel Hellenius. So you could put like Turcotte with Thomas with a Dakota Joshua or a Trenton or something like that. So you got the two young guys with some size, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I think Absolutely. Also on the D, if you're going to replace England and you're going to bring in somebody, you got to get somebody a little nasty. I mean, one thing Joe and I agree on, like, I would have rather had Jacob Chychrun than Gavrikov. Like, Chychrun's, I was at the Ottawa game this year. Dude, he's nasty with his stick. He was just, I watched him up and down the ice on him. They need somebody like that because the Kings D is just, I mean, you take out England, there's barely any size and there's definitely no scrappiness back there. So I think you got to upgrade, get somebody a little bit grittier in the top four. And then I think, yeah, forward on the bottom, somebody like Joshua. And then, you know, that's what I would do.
Well, obviously we banged the Jacob Chychrun drum almost too much to a point where we probably put holes in the drum, but I mean, Brent Clark, you've probably been watching him in Ontario. He's got a little bit of nastiness to his game, but I don't expect that to be every night where he's just constantly involved in fights. And we also don't want him to be involved in fights and fisticuffs and in the penalty box a lot. Yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, if you're going to bring in like a instigator or agitator a little bit, just make it be a forward. I don't want to see it on the defensive side. I think you still have some size, even though it's not like huge bodies that are willing to throw their weight around too much, but I think you still have some size. But I think if you're going to play them with Spence and Clarkey, they're probably going to need a little bit of protection. So I could see that part of that
argument. Yeah. Well, my last thing, my favorite player is coming up, Hellenius, but I, from what I've heard, is they're going to play him not this year, next year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they re-sign Lizotte, let Krunstrom grow, and then do a mix of some of the guys we talked about, because I think they're waiting for Hellenius to take the 4C, but I don't think it's going to be this year. I think it's going to be next year.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with this front office, if the same front office stays. I'm not sure, obviously, what's going to happen, but I know they were very high on Hellenius. I remember Nelson Emerson talking about how he plays, like, so mean. He's such a mean guy to play against. He's a big body, too. I think he just needs to work on his pace a little bit.
He's Rempe. He's Rempe at center, basically. So
yeah.
All right, Russ. Well, I'm sure we'll chat this summer, man. Thanks for everything.
Yes, sir. Thanks, bud. See you. All right, I'll go to Jack. I'll do Jack. You'll be our last one. Then I gotta get going. I'm trying to beat traffic, which I'm sure I won't. It's Friday, LA. You guys know the deal. Jack, what's up, man?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's going on?
Sorry, I'm getting ready for work. I'm bartending a wedding, but
you're good.
I didn't hear a lot of the exit interviews today. I mean, I just heard, you know, stay you posted, but I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm echoing for change like a lot of everybody else. You know, I think there needs to be implemented. you know, I think they've tried this defense first for too long, and it obviously worked in the Cup years, but it's time to adapt.
Yeah, and that's why I said I thought the Kempe and Fiala availability, I thought that was the highlight of the player exit interviews, for them to come out and say that that's a system that they want to get away from, that 1-3-1 kind of neutral zone style. And even Kopitar mentioned how boring it is. And I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, like, you want to be this exciting, like, hockey team, right, based in Los Angeles, where you have Hollywood and everything like that. You want to say it's Hockeywood out here, but you play this. You're even captains talking about how you play this boring style of game. Like, listen to your other forwards, your high power forwards that want to play more aggressive and want to showcase their talents a little bit. So I thought that was definitely the highlight of the day.
Well, I mean, it's just, it's kind of confusing because, I mean, it's not really confusing because, you know, stuff with him, but it's just, it's more so of the fact that guys that he's been just complain, they're trying to do the exact opposite of how these guys are, you know, trained to play. I mean, Fiala is he's going to push the puck up the ice. He's going to, you know, he's not like this defensive minded and, you know, it's the other night when I was listening after the game 5 loss, somebody said that he was, you know, put in a bad spot on the third, you know, the third line. And I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the guy's played, you know, top line minutes. He played top line minutes in Columbus. He played top line minutes in Winnipeg. I mean, he's going to come to LA and you're going to, you know, put him on the third line with a rookie and, you know, a fourth line guy. And that's just, I mean, it's just, it shows the inability of not only the Kings coaching staff, but the Kings front office. I mean, you're investing like those assets and that much money into a guy. I mean, it's pretty straightforward to me.
Yeah, 100%. Like, look at the stats I shared earlier today, this morning. Look at the 5-on-5, the duo stats I shared. Peel Dubois playing with Arthur Kaliev. Arthur Kaliev, like, where was that all year? Where was even Arthur Kaliev all year? Who knows? Peel Dubois playing with Kevin Fiala. Both top five duos in the Kings in expected goal share. Like, where was that?
I think I saw Dubois play with Kaliev probably like two times.
Well, if that, and you know what's funny? What's funny about that? They were supposed to start together. That was supposed to be the line to start, was Fiala, Dubois, and Kaliev. And in the preseason, they were lights out. Right. It was like, oh, this is great. This is exactly what we wanted. And then Kaliev got suspended, lost that spot. Fiala and Dubois got separated like 10 games into the year, even though they were still producing. So it was like, what happened here? And that's why it was just questions abound, and PL Dubois just dropped off. And yeah, it was just question after question after that.
Well, I remember watching one of the I think it was the Frozen Fury game, the Salt Lake game against the Sharks. And I'm not sure. It was a couple preseason games in, but I remember watching the line of Fiala, LaFerriere, and Dubois. That line freaking killed it. Like, those guys were great. I mean, it's preseason. You're not playing against, you know, especially when you're playing the Sharks. But, I mean, it's just, like, the chemistry that they had. I was like, damn, this line is going to be – I mean, it's just – they looked great. I mean, again, LaFerriere is a rookie, but I have really high hopes for him. I think he looked great in the 5 games that he played, even though he, you know, wasn't putting up a lot of points. But I just – like I said, I think you need to complement Dubois with your best players, your most skilled players. Because, like I said, you're investing the assets that you invested in him, the time, the money, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he played great. I'm not, you know, I'm not on the train of, you know, buy him out. I think that's kind of premature to say right now, but I think you need to give, I mean, if this happens next year and he's playing with, you know, potentially if the Kings bring in a top 6 guy, I don't see that happening, but if he's playing with Fiala and he's doing the same thing, he's got 40 points next year. Okay. We can start having a buyout conversation, but you need to give him a little bit of runway with some skilled guys here.
Yeah, and that's also the dilemma that Kings are in, is like, if you're there, it's either buy him out now or you can't buy him out after that, because the way that it's set up, it's 1/3 the contract now, and even then, like, who knows if that's going to happen, because I know it has to depend on when the actual season ends, and then it turns into 2/3 after that, which would be even more ridiculous. So yeah, but I'm with you. Like, I'm not on board with buyout. I thought Kevin Fiala and PL Dubois were great together. Like you said, like, they showed so much chemistry in preseason, even though it is preseason. But even then, like, the first part of the year, Like, I just go back to that game in Winnipeg, that first game in Winnipeg. Dubois had a couple points. That next right, game yep. in Minnesota, I believe it was the yeah. next game after that, they both looked pretty good together. And two all of a more, sudden, they
yeah,
just
he scored out. Yeah, so I remember that game. Like, he scored two goals.
Yeah, and then it was like, yeah. okay, then what happened after that? And then he's playing with Alex Laferriere and Carl Grundstrom or Jared Anderson Dolan at times. And I'm like, oh, we're not really setting this guy up much up for success. But it was just so confusing because you would think that, like, exactly. you would do whatever yeah. you could to set him up for success, to kind of just get the fan base behind right. this big deal that you made and the exactly. amount of money that you paid, but never happened. So,
I mean, personally, knows? I'm not on, I didn't like the contract from the beginning. I thought it was a little, I think Rob Blake kind of jumped the gun a little bit to give a guy almost $9 million who's never had over 60 points. But I mean, he banked on his size, I mean, I was listening to the 32 Thoughts podcast yesterday, and, you know, Jeff Merrick is like, he's the embodiment of potential. You know, the guy's yeah. got every tool you could possibly want in a big franchise center. He just needs to, you know, be complimented with the guys who are going to, you know, have him play that way.
Man, I've heard people say he needs to go, like, see a sports psychologist and all this good stuff. I totally agree. Like, there's so much potential in that. Like, you look at all this, the attributes he's got, size, skill. Smart. He's a coach's son, so he understands the game. It's just, how can we get that all to come together on the ice every night is the question. And when he was a top line center for Winnipeg, he played on the line with I think Nikolaj Ehlers and Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor had 40 goals. Ehlers was a great producer, so he found a way. Those players found a way to produce with Dubois. Just how can the Kings find a way to get him to produce with some of the players that they have now? That's going to be something that they're going to figure out if they do decide to keep him going forward throughout the entirety of the contract. See, it's a gamble. It's a gamble, man. Tough one to figure out. Hey, you got anything else for me, Jack? Did we lose him?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, yeah, I know. It's just, it's unfortunately, like, when you make that much money and, you know, guys, yeah, I mean, like I said, unfortunately, when you make that much money and, you know, are you still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. You there? Are you there? Can you hear me? I think everybody else can hear me. I think we're losing Jack a little bit. Well, I appreciate you hopping on here, Jack. I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, like I said, I think that was going to be my last speaker. I'm just scrolling through the questions here if there are any more. Someone asked what's up with Kaliev. Like, who knows? I have no idea what's up with Kaliev. I'd be surprised if he sticks around. Byfield even touched on it. He said he doesn't know what's going on. He said it's something that he's going to have to figure out. So who knows what's happened there. But I don't see any other questions. But I'm going to go ahead and end it. Like I said, I got to try to beat the traffic on the way home. But I appreciate you guys jumping in here. Another great Twitter space here. We'll see. Just talked to PR after this was over. Tentative scheduled to talk to the free front office at the beginning part of next week. We'll see what happens. If it's the same front office that they have right now, who knows? I guess it'll be a fun weekend to look ahead. Maybe look out for a press release or two, but who knows? Appreciate you guys. Have a good one. Have a good weekend.